This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose. You might already know Jeremy Camp's love story with his first wife, Melissa. She died in 2001, shortly after they got married. A movie about their story actually came out called I Still Believe. But you probably haven't heard his love story with his current wife of 16 years, Adrian. Today on the podcast, I'm sharing with you an interview with Jeremy and Adrian. And I think that what they have to share about marriage, God's timing, the new movie, and their upcoming book is going to really bless you. So stay tuned.
In his new book, Saving Christianity, Dr. Michael Youssef reminds us we cannot reinvent Christianity to fit our society. Learn about the dangers of undermining our faith, how to distinguish biblical truth, and have a renewed confidence in the future of the church. Go to www.thesavingchristianitybook.com. Again, thesavingchristianitybook.com.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spauto, the online news director for Charisma News. And I have on the phone with me two very special guests. They're Jeremy and Adrian Camp. So, Camps, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Well, we are very happy to have you guys on the show. Jeremy, I have to confess something to you. I love your song, I Still Believe. But I went through a phase in my teen years when I really struggled to like that song because my ballet teacher had us do a song to it, and I was not a ballerina.
I'm still
not a ballerina. That's amazing.
So there, it got to a point.
That's well, amazing.
The Lord has healed my heart. I will say, the Lord has healed my heart. But I do love your song. Man. The Lord has since really restored that love for that song. But in all seriousness, it's a very powerful song. And it's because it came out of such a place of, I'm assuming, out of brokenness and pain.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this new movie, I Still Believe, is all about. So do you mind just taking a couple minutes and talking about that film and just what was your reaction when you realized it was going to become a movie?
Yeah, you know, the whole premise, of course, if someone listening doesn't know what it's about, it shares of my wife, Melissa, and me and how we met. Really, the whole battle, you know, knowing that going into our engagement that she had cancer, and then, of course, getting married and things were looking better. And so, you know, here we are on honeymoon, and she noticed some issues on our honeymoon that she wanted to kind of check out when we got back home. So we got back home and the doctors at that point told us that we had weeks to months to live, that she had weeks and months to live. And I think that was the start of the reality of like, wait a second, this is real. You know, I think before going into it, yeah, you know, the reality is kind of there, but when you hear the doctors say those words, it's just a whole different story. And so, you know, 3.5 months into our marriage, she went to be with Jesus. And, you know, the song I Still Believe was written, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after that. And I remember sitting down and God just spoke to my heart and saying, I want you to stand up, or I want you to pick up your guitar and, you know, right now. And the last thing I wanted to do is pick my guitar up because it was, you know, I was grieving still. And I was, you know, still kind of, there's anger. There was all this, that hurt. And finally I just picked it up and what came out was that song. And it really was a healing song. It wasn't like all of a sudden I wrote the song and I was fine. You know what I mean? But it was like the start of the healing process. Does that make sense? And, you know, so I've shared my testimony for years. I've shared what I've been through, God's faithfulness in the midst of trials and tribulations. I wrote a book about it called I Still Believe. And then, you know, we got approached by the Irwin brothers a couple of years ago, and they said, hey, we're doing a movie called I Can Only Imagine for Bart from Mercy Me. And we've read your story, and we feel like it could be a movie. And so they said, let's chat about it. So, of course, the movie comes out, I Can Only Imagine. And then they call me up and say, hey, you know, we really want to talk about this. And let's kind of have an interview and just discuss what may be. And we all walked out of the interview going, we have to do this. They felt that way. We felt that they were the right people to do the movie. And just from that point on was a lot of just blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to the point now where it comes out in the theaters and then the virus hits and they pull out of theaters, and all theaters close. And it's been, you know, quite a challenge in that aspect, but I'm seeing how God is using this because of what's happening, that people that are going through suffering, you know, and I was talking to a friend earlier, he's saying, this is the time right now to say, hey, I still believe, you know, even when it doesn't make sense, because the song says, even when I cannot see, I still believe. And I think that, you know, God's timing on this, it may, for me at first, was hard because I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord, we've worked so hard for 2 years and now it's out of the theaters. And I feel like God's just saying, do you not trust me that I'm going to get into the homes of everybody in America during this time that they can see it, to be able to have something to watch and have hope and to talk with their families about. And so it's been really special to hear story after story how God's used this already, and it's just begun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really impressed with the numbers that you guys had for that movie on the opening weekend, because you're right, it hit right around when the coronavirus was going on, different states were on lockdown, and yet from what I could see, it was pretty successful. So that kind of told me people are really hungry for the hope that you guys are sharing through this story, through what you lived, you know, clinging to Jesus through that pain. And now of all times, of course, like we're going through something that's pretty scary. I don't know if, I mean, I know I'm pretty young, but even my parents, I don't think any of us have been alive for something that's been this worldwide impacting.
And
that is so frightening.
Yeah. And we're all going through it at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the first time in, not elements of history, but the first time in a long time where everybody now in the world are facing the same thoughts and fears and all those things. And, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road of our faith and saying, God, are we really going to trust you? Are we really going to actively live out our faith and know that you're in control and know that we can trust you with all of our heart? And so it's a different time, but I think it's a time that we don't shrink back. We actually say, no, this is going to make us stronger because we're going to actually live out what we believe, you know, and walk in the promises of God's word.
Absolutely. And I know that this movie came out just a couple weeks before y'all's book is supposed to come out in unison. So was that, I'm guessing that wasn't an accident.
Right.
So was that something you guys were kind of planning?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We've, over the course of the last couple of years, we've really been doing a lot of different creative projects, and they all have seemed to kind of culminate at the same time. But I think we just realized that, you know, God was opening this massive door through the movie, and that people's next question would be to look at us as a couple. And so we wanted to have something real, something authentic, and something biblical to, in a sense, and tangible, you know, to respond. Because we don't get to, you know, answer everybody's questions and respond to every little post on social media, but just to be able to have something where we can just, in a sense, tell our story of our marriage and how we met and some of the things that we struggle with, and in a sense, just how we do life together and our relationships with the Lord in the midst of all of that.
Yeah, you know, because I think writing a marriage book too, you know, we've been married for 16 years, have 3 kids. And it wasn't like we sat there one day and went, you know what? I think we've got it all together. So let's write a marriage book. And,
not
you know,
at all.
it wasn't that. It was just, we felt like it was something that God had given us, had laid on our heart to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I've told a lot of people, because they're like, man, there's so much that you've done in a small amount of time. You know, my wife wrote a children's book called Even Me that came out this year. Of course, the movie had a new album, my re-release of I Still Believe book. And then, you know, this book. They're all things that I felt like God had laid in our heart, and he's given us the wisdom and the strength to do it. It's when we take on things that he doesn't call us to take on is when we get weary, when it's not inspired, all those things.
We get burnt out.
And I feel like right now, now I feel like even more so with everything happening, the book coming out just to encourage marriages during this time too, because it's a tough time and, you know, everyone's kind of cooped up together. And so we got to face things together, you know, and maybe deal with, you know, issues as a married couple and a family that you may haven't had to because we're all so distracted. And it's I don't know, you have to face reality and face what's actually in front of you now.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point, especially the part about quarantine. I mean, I feel like with couples being cooped up together, it kind of is the ones that are doing great, they're going to just love it. You know, they're going to love spending that time. But if there are little cracks, you know, those are going to show, at least I think so. What are y'all's advice for couples who have those cracks and they're kind of showing right now because they're with each other all the time, they have more opportunity to get on each other's nerves? What would you say to that couple?
You know, I think just learning to be gracious towards one another really is huge, you know, and giving each other the space and the freedom to understand, you know, this is a season that it's really stressful for a lot of people. And to maybe understand that each one of you would process things differently. And like there's a scripture in the Bible and it's really referring to husbands, but it just talks about dealing with your wife with understanding. And really as wives, we need to do exactly the same thing of just dealing with each other with understanding. And then I think one of the things that I've learned the most in marriage is that Jesus really will give you the supernatural ability to love each other and to forgive each other. You know, there've been times in our marriage that were really, really hard and I didn't have love for Jeremy. I mean, obviously I loved him, but in the day to day, he was frustrating to me, you know what I mean? And we were butting heads and rubbing each other wrong and all of that stuff. And I just remember just getting on my knees and being really transparent and vulnerable and just going, God, this is really what I'm feeling right now. I don't have love and I need you to do something in my heart. And I think for us, you know, those are the times where we grow the most when we're just honest about the way that we're feeling and actually addressing the issue instead of just pretending that everything's okay, but then really driving each other mad at the end of the day, you know? And so just really being vulnerable and asking God to give you those things. You know, in James, it says that God will give wisdom liberally without finding fault. And what that means is we don't have to have it all together, that God will give us the things that we need liberally. That means like a whole lot of it, you know? So if you need wisdom and you need love and you need to forgive, then just ask him for it and see how he will meet you in those places.
Yeah. You know, I think too, one of the biggest things, and you said it, instead of her getting on her knees and saying, Lord, change my husband.
Yeah.
She said, Lord, change me. And I think that's one of the biggest hangups and problems in marriage is that we always wait for the other person to change instead of saying, God, change my heart. And then hopefully with the Lord changing my heart, and you can ask, of course, the Lord to soften the heart of your spouse and as well. I'm not saying that, but it's never saying, God, I need you to change that person. And then you kind of move on with yourself. We all, it takes two, you know, to have those issues and conflicts. And so it's a checking your heart first and moving forward from there.
Yeah, I think that's such incredible advice. And I know I still consider myself a newlywed. I got married last year. I totally resonate with everything you guys are saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Because totally. It's true. You can't just ask God, hey, change this person. You know, I feel like in this past year and several months of marriage, God has really used it to show me what's in my heart and to purify me. And it's really improved my husband's and my communication as a result, not because I'm making him change, but focusing on my relationship with God and how I treat him. So that's really incredible, guys. And I cannot let you guys go unless I ask the question that I know everyone is wanting to know. And that is, how did you guys meet?
Yes.
go ahead. I used to sing in a rock band called the Benjamin Gate. And I was born and raised in South Africa. So my band is South African. And we were over here traveling around playing tons of tours. And on one of those tours, it was Jeremy's very first one. Actually, it was called Festival Candias. And he was opening for me, which is kind of fun. But, and we, you know, our merchandise tables were set up fairly close to each other. And so we just got to know each other really well on tour. It was, I think, a 3-month long tour. We played, I think it was like 40 shows together, whatever it was. So just kind of like being thrown in the deep end in a sense. And it was not love at first sight by any means. Neither one of us. I mean, we thought each other were great people, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, he's cute. And it wasn't sparks at first. But we just became really good friends.
Like he wasn't your type.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, we actually literally were not each other's type, you know.
And I wasn't, and she wasn't my type. It was such a bizarre, you know, thing that was a God thing for sure.
Yeah, but I think what was sweet about it was because we weren't looking for that, either one of us. we weren't trying to impress each other. And so we actually ended up becoming really good friends very quickly, because neither one of us had that in mind. So I think we kind of let our guard down with each other. And I was blown away by Jeremy's testimony. And so I just asked him tons and tons of questions. And I wanted to know about Melissa, and I wanted to know about Jeremy, because I just never met anybody my age that had gone through something so severe, such a radically difficult trial, and still was standing on the other side going, God, I don't understand, but I still believe. And that was so powerful to me, that I think I was very intrigued. And then somewhere along the line, we totally fell in love.
Yeah, basically, I remember what happened was I realized she was gone for a few days because we were off tour. And I'm like realizing that I missed her. And I went, wait a second, why do I miss her? And that was kind of when I Aww. First knew, wait, I think I like her. So that's how we met.
Wow. That's such a beautiful story. And I think it really speaks to y'all's spiritual maturity, at least from my perspective, because Adrian, I cannot imagine, like, I don't even know how to say this really, but Jeremy, first of all, you healing to the point of getting into another relationship. And then right. Adrian, you not having that. I don't know if that were me, I feel like I would be tempted to be afraid or maybe jealous, or I don't know. Adrian, did you have any of those feelings, or did God just, they weren't even there?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I don't want to say it's been easy by any means, especially actually more this last year, which is interesting because Jeremy and I have been together for 17 years and married for 16. And this last year was probably the hardest when it came to digging into the story. I've never felt jealous of Melissa at all. But I think really early on, you know, her heart was all about Jesus and she wasn't about herself. And so it was very easy for me to see this isn't a story about her. And this isn't a story about Jeremy, and it's not even a story about me, but this is really about Jesus and his love story with us, you know? And so I think as long as I keep that perspective and I see that God is using us to touch so many different people, I remember very early on just saying a prayer and asking the Lord, like, God, don't ever let me stand in the way of that. You know, like even if I have a moment of insecurity or a moment that I just need to talk things through with Jeremy, like I didn't ever want to stand in the way of watching God use a very powerful testimony because it touched my heart too, you know. So who am I then to say, well, it can touch me, but then it needs to end there, you know? And I think that our society so much tells us that we always have to be the person that's front and center, and it's just not true. We can trust God with our stories, and we can trust him with the way that he weaves things together.
Absolutely. And Adrian, I just have to say, I love your heart. It's just so beautiful, yeah. You know, when you're saying all
hey,
this.
Me too.
Thank you.
I hope so, yes. But honestly, Adrian, just your humble heart for the Lord is really beautiful and it inspires me. And Jeremy, your heart too, just going after Thank God you. The way that you have, it's inspiring. So my hat's off to you both. And I know that we're pretty much out of time for the podcast, but I just want to give you guys the final word. Is there anything you guys just want to say that you really feel our listeners need to hear today?
You know, it's funny with all of the coronavirus and all of that stuff going on. I think it's sort of, you know, stressful situations can bring out one of two things in you, either running towards Jesus or running away from him. And every day I've just been praying, Lord Jesus, be new to me, you know, let me fall in love with you all over again. And I think for us, as long as we've been walking with the Lord and on this earth, it's like Jesus really is everything that we need. And I want to live my life absolutely sold out for him because I'm convinced of that. I was reading in Jeremiah this morning that was just saying, like, I have a fire shut up in my bones and I cannot hold it in, you know, and I resonate with that so much.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I'll take that.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And our listeners are so grateful for who you are and your stories. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.